Let's turn our Bible to Luke chapter 8, and we will be reading from 40 to 56. And as Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me." When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But when Jesus heard this, he answered him, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she will be made well." When he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. Now they were all weeping and lamenting for her. And he said, "Stop weeping, for she has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. However, he took her by the hand and called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up immediately. And he gave orders for something to be given to her to eat. Her parents were amazed, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. Father, we just want to thank you for this morning, just for giving us a brand new day. Your mercy is new every day, every morning, God. And we just want to receive that today. And I pray, God, that you will just speak and let us draw closer to you through this word, God, that everyone may be refreshed here. We love you in this place, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we look into these verses, I feel like it's very interesting to compare the two people and the two situations they're going through. Some of the differences are that it is about an influential man who has power and respect because he's a synagogue leader, and he has a 12-year-old daughter who is sick to a point of death. And then you compare that to an outcast woman who's shamed and despised, and a woman who had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years. One would think that Jesus would give all his priority to Jairus, the synagogue leader, since he is a man of stature, influence, and respect. And he came and asked Jesus to visit his home to heal his daughter before this woman showed up. But Jesus somehow decided to stop all that he was doing to a point of delaying his journey to a very sickly child to tend to the needs of this woman. Why did he do this? I'm not too sure myself, but this is what I propose may be one of the reasons why. I personally don't think that it is a coincidence that the girl was at the age of around 12 years old and the woman was suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years. I think that it is also something to be noteworthy in comparing the situations. 12 years was all that this girl has ever had in her life. The time of experiencing life, learning about love, enjoying the love and receiving the joy from her family and people who loves her. It is too short for a little human being to live and then to die so soon. She is just becoming an adult in the Jewish culture. She still has a whole life ahead of her. It is almost unfair for this little girl to die at such a young age. It is a pity and very sad situation. Can you imagine if you were this little girl's parent? Now, comparing this girl's 12 years of life to this woman's 12 years of suffering, your perspective may change. 12 long years of suffering. losing her fortune and trying to find healing but failing for 12 years must have been the most dreadful, fearful, horrifying times of her life. Not only was it painful, but it was lonely. To her, perhaps this suffering was way too long, to a point of maybe wondering why she is still living and not dead. It is too long a time to be rejected, to be sick, different, and unable to live a normal life. Jesus, being who he is obviously capable in healing any infirmities and even raising the dead. By now, he has already raised Lazarus from the dead. Perhaps it is because of this reason that he decided to care for the woman first, because what she really needed was not just a physical healing, but also emotional and spiritual. What emotional healing brings forth is redemption. Spiritual healing brings forth identity. What I mean is this. This woman has had an hemorrhage for 12 years. Can you imagine that? She must be dirty, stinky. In Jewish customs and laws, she is considered unclean until at least 7 days after she stops bleeding, and she must go through a purification ceremony, which is bathing. So she probably hasn't bathed properly in years, since she has no money. Even if she has, no one will reckon that she is clean and purified because her condition persists. Drawing from her situation and circumstances, I believe she is lonely. She has had no real human touch in her life for a long time. In fact, society despises her for what she is, and she is a complete outcast. So as Jesus was on his way to the synagogue official's home, in the midst of the crowd, he felt power left him. What he chose to do was very telling on his character and his intention. He stopped and made sure people around him knew he paid attention to someone touching him. As the text says, and while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." Who knows? Maybe many people had received healing from Jesus that day. Everyone was crowding and pressing on him. Or maybe only this woman did. But one thing we do know is that she was the only one that came out, stood forward, and answered Jesus' question, "Who touched me?" She was the only one that owned up to her own action. After all, no one knew how Jesus would respond, right? If when he finds out who touched him, maybe Jesus would rebuke them, maybe Jesus would reveal all their sins. Maybe Jesus is actually a really harsh man. So maybe that's why a lot of people won't speak up. Anyway, through Jesus' insistence in trying to find out who touched him, the woman realized she cannot go unnoticed anymore, as the crowd was probably looking around and seeing, oh, who's gonna, you know, who did this? And so she had to come out and confess her actions. I think Jesus set up the situation so that the woman must speak up. And the reason why he did this was for her redemption. She was an outcast. People probably cursed her whenever they saw her, treated her with no love or compassion, assuming that it's her sins that caused this condition in her life. Just like when the disciples assumed that it was the sin of the blind man or the sin of his parents that caused him to have this disability. So as she came out and spoke, Jesus is showing the crowd that she has been redeemed, that she has been healed completely, and that no one can ever have any excuse to reject her anymore, and also to allow her to stand upright in front of people, redeeming her dignity. I remember reading a commentary a long time ago about why Jesus had to spit on the ground and use that spit to heal the blind man's eyes, and the commentary said that it was because redemption. He wanted to redeem the man. As a disabled person begging for qualms, many people would have despised him and spat at him, cursing him for his sins. So when Jesus came, his spat was, which eventually turned into the key ingredient or the key factor in his healing, was a representation that he was using what was cursed to heal and at the same time redeeming him. So I believe that Jesus was not only healing her physically Because that happened as soon as she touched the fringe of his cloak. But he was healing her emotionally and spiritually. So then he says, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Through this, she encountered God, his love, compassion, his interest in this little nobody, that he would take the time for her, pause his urgent journey, and inconvenienced himself for her. He showed her that she was worthy, that he would stop everything for her because she was precious to him. He gave her identity and he healed her spiritually, because from this day on, she knows that she is accepted in the kingdom of God. And she knows that she has access to God. I also believe that Jesus was letting her know that there is no shame to come running to him in desperation. There is no shame in her condition, no matter how great or small. There is no need to hide and be fearful, because he is God who heals and redeems. So some of the things that I've learned through this passage is that when Jesus heals, he heals physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We may be seeking for only one thing, but his heart for us is to walk in fullness, abundance, and freedom. That's why by his grace, we are and we can be healed in all aspects. I would like to invite Janelle up to lead worship. Sometimes Jesus wants to make you uncomfortable, or you may even feel like you have been put under the spotlight, thrown under the bus. And at that moment, it may be humiliating. You may not like it. You may want to run away or feel that he is not there. But it could be a way of him healing you in wholeness, because he wants to redeem you from whatever situation or hurt you have experienced. He wants to allow you to meet him and speak with him face to face. He wants to heal you from all and any emotional hurt. Sometimes Jesus wants you to claim and declare your healing in public, or to share it with others, just like what he did with this woman, or when he cured the demonized man a few verses up in Luke 8 and told him to return home and tell how much God has done for you. Jesus sometimes creates opportunities for you to do so. He wants his name to be glorified, and he wants people to rejoice with you. He wants the whole world to know that you are his beloved. Whatever it may be that you are needing and seeking healing for, this story also tells us to not be ashamed and desperately seek him. Fall at his feet. Implore before him. Disregard what the whole world may think of you, your actions, and find him and ask him. He will stop the world for you. He will meet you where you're at. And if there are things you're asking for healing and it hasn't happened yet, take comfort in Jesus' word to Jairus. He said, do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she will be made well.
Age My
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You are indeed the faithful one. Your love is faithful. It's everlasting. You are our anchor, and how thankful we are that we can run to you in any state that we're in, and you will receive us just the way we are. You will meet with us right where we are. And you know what we need before we even ask for it. And I pray, God, that you will come and just come and bring forth your wholeness in all of us, God, that we may walk in fullness, we may walk in freedom, we may walk in healing, God. Give us the courage to be bold before you and before people, to seek you and to glorify your name and to proclaim your healing and to desire your healing physically, spiritually, and emotionally, God. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your faithfulness. Let's take a moment to pray for all our family members and loved ones who are suffering from cancer or going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for hope to arise in them, that they will find their anchor in the Lord and that healing will come through in Jesus' name. Let's lift up all the people, all of our brothers and sisters who have family members who have yet to come into salvation and suffering from illnesses. Let's pray that Jesus will meet them, that they will be able to find spiritual healing as well as physical healing. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering from infirmities of different sorts. Let's pray that healing will come and that they will continue to be in deep and great fellowship with the Lord. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for open doors and that they would really seek God during this time and they're waiting. Let's pray for them. Let's go into a Thursday prayer focus. Let's lift up Singapore. SP Singh, PSAM Kim, Annie, and their whole family. And also let's lift up Indonesia and SPIN, P. Salamat, Mimi, and their whole family as well. Let's pray that God will do amazing work in these two ministries, in these two countries. Let's lift up a prayer and healing ministry, IP, Well, and the River. Let's pray for God's presence to be felt and encountered during every healing that happens. Let's lift up these times. Let's lift up our education ministries, which is Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's lift up all the pastors and ministry leaders that are volunteering. And let's pray that as young as it can be, they can all know God and see God and experience God. So let's pray that they would really have powerful times in their lessons. And for Thursday outreaches, let's lift up SP Lights and a Homey Outreach. Let's pray that they will continue with their gestures of love, that they would really reflect Jesus, and that they will continue to spread this love all over the areas, over the people they meet, and even people they don't meet, they will see them and see the light of God. Our house churches that are meeting tonight is Element and Olympic. Let's lift up the house churches when they meet tonight. And let's pray for our SP annual retreat that's happening next week. Let's pray for our Noah's Ark program, the kids, teachers, and parents, and the parent volunteers. Let's pray that all the preparation will go well, that everyone is praying and interceding for this time, and that while we're there, the kids will really be able to know God in such an intimate way and have so much fun. Yeah, so let's lift up the Noah's Ark program and everyone involved. Father, we love you. We thank you for this morning. May we all be refreshed and to have such new strength as we go on the rest of the day, Lord. Be with us, God. Continue to minister to us. Continue to be close to us, God. We want you and we allow you to come close to us, God. We love you, Lord. We lift all this up to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Have a good morning.